Have some two new visitors today, two first-time visitors that I wanted to introduce. One is Layton, and Dad, Jeremy's holding Layton. Why don't you stand up, Jeremy and Reagan? Welcome Layton here for the first time. Born just this week, right? Yeah, wow. You're tough. Okay, another first-time visitor, Freddie King and Austin and Lena, Mom and Dad. Welcome them. So glad to have new babies being born. That is wonderful. Blessing to our church. Amen. If you've known me for a while, you're liable to know that I am an avid St. Louis Cardinals baseball fan. I grew up about 40 miles. In fact, I share this passion with the Cardinals, with Mike and Chris back there on the back row. I grew up about 40 miles from the stadium. And my dad and I, we would go to several games over the course of a season. I remember the bleacher seats in the outfield could be purchased for $1 a piece. That means that was a long time ago that was the case. Also, the Cardinals did a very nice thing for the area schools back in the day. If you were a high school student and a straight A student, they would give you free tickets to three different games of your choice, two tickets each of those three games. That was a good incentive for me to keep my grades up. And likely, if I wasn't at the game, which we didn't go to that many, we went to probably a half a dozen games over the course of a season, but if I wasn't at the game, likely I would have my ear in the radio listening to the broadcast of the Cardinals. So that gives you a little bit of insight as to why I'm such a Cardinal fan still to this day. Now, you may or may not know this, the Cardinals and the Cubs are bitter rivals. And so the story is told of a teacher in a Chicago school district who was an avid Cubs fan. And she was trying to rally support for the Cubs from her third grade class. And she asked her students if they would like to be a part of Cubs Nation. If so, just raise your hand, and all of them together could agree to be a part of Cubs Nation. Well, these third graders, they wanted to please their teacher. So every hand in the class went up except for one hand. A little girl named Chrissy in the back of the classroom. The teacher asked Chrissy, you don't want to be a part of Cubs Nation? No, she said matter-of-factly. Well, why not? Asked the teacher. Because I am a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals. And she pumped her chest and pointed her finger to the sky. The teacher was surprised at her student's response. She said, why are you a fan of the St. Louis Cardinals? She said, because my grandpa was a Cardinals fan. My dad is a Cardinals fan. My mom is a Cardinals fan. So that makes me a Cardinals fan. Well, the teacher couldn't let it go. She said, Chrissy, what if your grandpa was a moron? Or what if your mom and dad, what if they were morons? What would that make you? And Chrissy didn't miss a beat. She said, well, that would make me a part of Cubs Nation. That's a good one, wasn't it? And I have tried all week long to think, how can I work this into my sermon today? And there's no way that I can work that into my sermon. It's just out there all by itself. And Dean noticed I did not use the royals in this particular joke. That was for you. I was talking with someone just recently who told me that she and her husband had made a decision at the first of the year to be all in with Jesus. And they've been trying to live that out. And I was so thrilled to hear that. I'm sure it's affecting other areas in their life too. And she said so. She said it's really been a good thing for their whole family, and more decisions are being planned for the future. Now, as I heard that, and then as I was preparing this message, I'm thinking, you know, it would do all of us good to decide to be all in with Jesus all the time. And I'm sure the Holy Spirit would lead us in what that might look like in our personal lives. For some, if you decided, I'm going to be all in with Jesus, maybe it would indeed make a difference in your church attendance. That you would decide, yes, church is going to be a priority for us. And it's not going to be just if it's convenient, if it works out for me, if I can get out of bed. No, if you decide that it's going to be all in for you and your family, I think it would make a difference in your church attendance. But maybe that is an area that you already have as a priority. And so for somebody else, if you're deciding that it's going to be all in for you with Jesus, maybe it's going to make a difference in picking this book up on a regular basis every day and reading from it and studying it, looking and seeing what God has to say to you. Maybe that's how it would show up in your life. Or maybe for somebody else, as you're saying, I want to be all in with Jesus, maybe it would make a difference in your giving. You know, the Holy Spirit is able to work with each and every one of us on an individual basis, and He is able to convict us. He's able to prompt us in these matters and what it might look like for you personally to be all in with Jesus and what steps you might take for that to be true in your life. Maybe it would be in the area of witnessing. As you decide that you want to be all in with Jesus, the Holy Spirit would be saying, hey, you need to be letting your light shine more. You need to be more bold, speaking up for Jesus to others. For each of us, it may be something different. But guaranteed, if we decide to be all in with Him, the Spirit will be moving us. He will be convicting us to not just be talking about being all in, but to actually be putting all of that into action. That's what God wants us to do. We've been looking at some of the parables that Jesus told that teach us to be all in with Him. And this today is actually the sixth sermon in this mini series of the parables, and actually the last sermon looking at some parables that teach us this. Particularly today, the parables we're going to look at teach us to be all in with Him in the area of prayer. Let me read to you from Luke chapter 11 and then from Luke chapter 18. We're actually looking at two parables today that teach us a very similar lesson. And so chapter 11 of Luke, beginning with verse 5, then He said to them, suppose one of you has a friend and goes to him at midnight and says to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside, he answers and says, "Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything." I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Now suppose one of your fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will he not also give him a snake? He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he is asked for an egg, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now over to Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not to lose heart, saying, "In a certain city there was a judge who did not fear God and did not respect man. There was a widow in that city, and she kept coming to him, saying, 'Give me legal protection from my opponent.' For a while he was unwilling, but afterward he said to himself, 'Even though I do not fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow bothers me, I will give her legal protection. Otherwise, by continually coming, she will wear me out.' And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge said. Now, will not God bring about justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? And will he delay long over them? I tell you that he will bring about justice for them quickly.'" So we have two parables with a very similar teaching. First of all, we should pray specifically. You see that in these parables. In the first parable, this fella is asking his neighbor for 3 loaves of bread. Then he's got a friend coming over. It's midnight, but he doesn't have any food. So he's asking for bread. Then in the second parable, the widow was asking the judge for justice. These two were very specific in their asking. There's no doubt in the mind of the hearer what was being asked for. And I think there's a very clear lesson here for us. We should be specific in what we're asking God for. For me, instead of just asking God to bless my family, I have a specific list of things that I pray to him about concerning my family. And I've told you this before. This was years ago. I listened to a video teaching by Howard Hendricks, and in that video teaching, I was challenged to choose 5 things that I would most want for my family and to pray regularly about those things rather than just a blanket, "Dear God, help my family," to narrow down to 5 things what I want for them most. And I have been very specific in praying to God about those 5 things. And honestly, over the years, that list of 5 things has grown to a list probably of 10 things that I pray regularly and specifically about for my family, that they would love Jesus with their whole heart. That they would be faithful, that all of us, not just they, but all of us together in our family, that we would be faithful to him, that we would spend eternity together in heaven. And there's several things in that list that I pray for them about. And these are things that matter in light of eternity. And I've mentioned that to you even recently in my preaching, that we need to be concerned about those things that matter for eternity. Therefore, I'm not praying to God for my family to have a lot of money. I'm not praying that my kids would have a lot of stuff. That doesn't really matter in light of eternity. My prayer has nothing to do with how successful they are in this world, but rather, I'm praying that they would know Him, that they would have this intimacy with Him and to be faithful to Him. And I'm praying that we can learn to be forgiving as a family, that we can learn to be forgiving towards those who offend us, who run over us. Because, you know, forgiveness matters, doesn't it? And I don't want anybody in my family to be holding on to a grudge. And so I'm praying about that specifically for my family. And I want to encourage you to do the same thing. You find some things in your mind of what really matter for you in light of eternity concerning your family, and you pray about those things specifically. Pray specifically for lost people by name to be saved. Don't just say, Lord, help the lost to come to you. That is a good prayer, but I think it would be helpful to us if we could pray specifically for people who need Jesus. Pray for them by name. And when you pray for the sick, don't just say, Lord, help those who are sick to be made better. Rather, pray specifically by name for those who need healing. I would hope that you would pray specifically for our staff here at Reinhardt. Pray for me, please. I need that. I need His leading. I need His Spirit to fill me and to use me. Pray for Elijah. Pray for Haley. Each of us here on this staff, would you pray specifically for us? And it might even be good. It would be good if you would come to us, or maybe text us or email us. Our contact information is on the front of the bulletin, and just say, hey, what can I pray for you about specifically? I had somebody just probably 2-3 weeks ago contact me through a text, and they said to me, Kevin, the Holy Spirit has put it on my heart to start praying for you regularly, and I want you to know that. And I tell you, that meant the world to me. And he was asking, what can I pray for you about? And so I gave him a couple of things at that point of that text that were right there on my mind that he could pray for me about. He's contacted me a time or two after that, since that time, and said, hey, praying for you. And he's inquiring about those things that he's praying about. It means the world to me. When you pray, be specific with God. Let me give to you a second point. We should pray boldly. Don't be afraid to ask big things of God. He is a big God, and there is nothing that is impossible for Him. The widow asked for justice against her adversary. The fellow in the first parable that we read, he's asking for his neighbor to get out of bed at midnight and give him 3 loaves of bread. Be bold in your request. As I was studying this sermon this morning, I was thinking about that parable there where he's knocking on the neighbor's door at midnight asking for bread. That's pretty bold, isn't it? Could you put yourself in his shoes and think of yourself going to your neighbor and knocking on their door at midnight and saying, I need bread? That's a pretty bold request. We need to be bold in our praying to God. I'm thinking of Elijah the prophet. He He asked for fire to come down from heaven and consume the altar that had been doused with fire. That's a bold request. I'm thinking of Elisha praying for an axe head to float to the surface of the water. I'm thinking about Joshua praying for the sun to stand still in the sky so that they could finish the battle. And then there's Hezekiah. He's praying that the shadow on the steps would go backwards. In other words, he's asking for the sun to, for the earth. The sun stands still, but he's asking for the shadow to move backwards from what it normally does. That is a bold request. I'm thinking about Hannah praying for a son amidst her barrenness. These are all very bold prayers, and yet they were not too difficult for God to do, because God can do the impossible. Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Sometimes we don't receive because we don't ask. And so let me challenge you to be bold and ask God for lost souls to be saved. And again, be specific in praying for people by name, and be bold enough to ask for those that you think might be hard or even impossible to reach. Let's be bold in our praying here at Reinhardt, and let's pray for Debbie Walker and Buffy Estridge to have miracles of healing from their cancer. These are not too difficult requests for God to grant to us. It's bold praying that we need to be a part of. I mentioned to you, I think, here last week in my preaching about the praying a hedge of protection around your kids and your grandkids so that Satan can't get them and take them captive. That's bold praying. And that's a prayer we need to be praying. Pray boldly for the prodigal to come back to Jesus. Pray boldly for revival to sweep this county and this nation and all the world. In our Mission 15 praying, I am praying for all seven continents to experience revival, and that Good News Productions will lead the way in reaching this whole world for Jesus. We need to be praying boldly. I've told you about George Mueller's bold prayers for his orphan children. This is back in the 1800s. He never asked people for financial support. He just trusted that God would provide for him and for the children. And the story is told. It's very documented. One morning, his housekeeper came to him concerned. There was no food in the kitchen for the children. And George Mueller said to her, go ahead and have the children be seated for breakfast. What was she just said? There's no food. So she does. She has them seated for breakfast. And George Mueller prays and he thanks God for the breakfast that the children are going to have. And about that time, I mean, it wasn't within just minutes, there was a knock at the door. A baker was there saying he couldn't sleep during the night, and so he just got up. He had this feeling, he had this prompting from God that the children didn't have bread for breakfast. And so he baked bread all night long and brought it in time for the breakfast hour, enough to feed all the children. Another knock came. It was the local milkman. He said his milk cart had broken down right in front of the orphanage. It wasn't going to be something that could be repaired easily or quickly. And so rather than let his milk spoil, he was offering to give all of his milk to the children. The bread and the milk was enough to meet the needs of all 300 kids in that home. George Mueller prayed boldly, and he prayed specifically, and God did the rest. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Wow. What could happen right here at Reinhardt if we began praying these kinds of prayers, specific, bold prayers? Who might be saved in Vernon County, in Bourbon County? Can you think of somebody that, in your human way of thinking, that you would say that, you know, that person is unreachable. Their heart is so hard, they could never be reached with the gospel of Jesus. That's the very person that we should be praying for, because God's asking us, he's teaching us through Jesus' parables to pray specifically and to pray boldly and let God do the rest. What kind of miracles of healing could we see happen as we pray specifically and boldly? And thirdly, we should pray persistently. We see that very clearly in the parables that I have read this morning. The widow was persistent with the judge to the point that he's wanting to grant her the request of justice. He's saying, this gal is going to wear me out with her asking. The fellow who's laying in bed, midnight, his neighbor's knocking on the door, crying out, "I need 3 loaves of bread." He's saying, go back. Do you know what time it is? I don't want to wake my kids up. Just come back in the morning. I need some bread. I don't have anything in the house. I have company coming. Go away. I need some bread. Okay. Persistence. Be persistent in your praying. Don't give up asking. "My husband needs saved, God. Lord, my husband, he needs Jesus in his life." Just keep persistent in your praying. "My prodigal son needs to come home to Jesus. Dear Lord, would you work in his heart and bring him back home? Lord God, I'm coming to you again, asking you about my prodigal. Lord, my marriage needs help. Lord God, would you change my heart first, and would you change my spouse's heart? God, we need a miracle in our marriage." Be persistent in your praying. Will not God bring justice for his elect who cry to him day and night? The scripture says. And number four, we should pray in faith. We should believe that God is able. Let me read to you from Mark chapter 11, verses 23 and 24. "Truly I say to you," this is Jesus speaking, he says, "whoever says to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says is going to happen, it will be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things for which you pray and ask, believe that you have received them, and they will be granted you." You remember from the Gospels, nothing got Jesus more excited than people's faith in him. Great faith leads to great answers of prayer. But I will say this too, great faith will accept God's will. You know, prayer's not a magic lamp that we rub, and whatever we ask for, God's going to do it. Now, he is God. He knows best, and he has his ways that are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so when we're talking about prayer and we're talking about faith, we have to recognize that great faith accepts God's will. And if God says no to our prayer, great faith will accept that, because we realize he is God and we are not. We're to trust him no matter what. And so God, grow us, please, in our faith. I want to ask you, will you be all in with Jesus in regards to prayer? I hope so. And if you decide, yes, I want to be all in with Jesus in regards to prayer, I can make you a guarantee your life will never be the same again. Let's pray together.